Well, this morning I want to begin a series of messages. Not sure how many weeks it's going to go on for, but at the moment I'll get two or three lined up. But anyway, they're based on living in the light. Living in the light. And it actually presents quite a challenge to us as believers, because it may have more to do with accepting the truth of this, of what the love of Christ has done in us, rather than something that we believe has to be worked at. When Christ was in the world, he was like the shining sun. And of course, when the sun sets, we know that the moon comes up. The moon really is like a picture of believers, the church. The church shines, but it's not with its own light. It shines with reflected light. And there are times when the church has been like a full moon, capturing the world with an almost daytime light. These were times of great illumination. For example, in the days of the disciples in Paul, Martin Luther, Wesley. But in particular, Scotland has also known its fair share of illumination. In the 1730s, there began what was referred to as awakenings that were happening in Scotland. The most famous of these was in Cambuslang in 1742. Then there was the Kilsyth Revival in 1839, which spread mostly around the Central Belt. And then from 1949 to 1953, there was the Lewis Revival. So over time, there's been spontaneous outbreaks over the years. Did you know that in 1955, the Tour of Scotland by Billy Graham was so successful, it reversed the decline in church attendance in Scotland? Such was the impact that it had. Those were times of great enlightenment. And at other times, the church has only been like a slither of a crescent moon. And in those days, very little light has shone on the earth. But whether the church is a full moon or a crescent, it still reflects the light of Christ. The light does not originate with us. So I wonder, what will the 21st century have in store for the church? The light of Christ to be reflected from us? Are we going to wait for the next generation to wake up or rise up? I want to look at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 8 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And the question for all believers is, how can we live in the light as commanded or asked by us by the Lord in Scripture? To live in the light, believers must remember that light, not darkness, is our nature. Light is our nature. As we read, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Here Paul reminds us that they were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. And it's interesting to notice that Paul does not say believers were in darkness, but they were darkness. That is the character of every believer before coming to Christ, where there's been a definite change that has taken place in the life of every true believer. Now, by using the term children of light, Paul reminds us that we have the Father's nature. You know, it's one thing to have our Father's nature. This is where the going has always been rough. And it's especially true today in our culture. It's come to put such emphasis in what it perceives as tolerance. Now, when Christians make comments, it's often seen as judgment, as though you're judging others. We're defined as living in the past. We can be told that we're irrelevant for today, all because the motto of modern man is, the one thing I will not tolerate is intolerance, which includes everything except our Christian faith. According to the world, Christianity ought to be as broad and accepting as possible. And unfortunately, today there are many of the clergy who also think this way, and they also encourage it. I'm sure it probably makes them popular in certain areas, especially the media, where they can actually become celebrities overnight. They maybe get a spot in TV's breakfast show or on the news, and all of a sudden, they become the voice of the church, or at least how the world would like to view the church. All that does is put us at odds when we present a biblical view. Our culture loves the darkness with its open-minded, non-judgmental, live and let live personality. And there's a problem with this because God's word tells us differently. If the Bible condemns something, then who are we to say that it's okay? Having said this, we must understand that it doesn't give us license to run around pointing fingers at people. You see, it's when we live as light, our very lives will then expose the darkness. Whether that's in your office, at work, school, even in a church, we must be willing to risk being called judgmental, even bigoted. Terms that will get used to try and shut us up. In John 3, verse 20, it tells us, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So if the word of God calls us to stand up against sin, it is up to us to be faithful. Faithful to the word. And it does get increasingly difficult when decisions are made that affect things that used to be acceptable. You know, the Gideons were accepted as providers of free Bibles in hotels, schools, and colleges. They actually began distributing. And we see today how things change. There was an article in 2014 run by the Daily Mail about the Travel Lodge Hotel Group. They started removing Bibles from their bedrooms, even although the company admitted no one had ever complained about them being there. But the hotel chain doesn't want to discriminate. The Bibles were removed from its rooms to avoid upsetting non-Christians. They said the country is becoming increasingly multicultural and Bibles discriminate. That was a quote from them. So they have taken the action for diversity reasons. The Bibles are now hidden and apparently stored behind reception for guests to borrow on request. Apparently, Travel Lodge has not received any customer feedback regarding this decision. Has the church kept silent? There was no light shining in this dark decision. And for us to live in the light, believers must produce the fruit that Paul describes. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness refers to anything that is morally excellent, including generosity, which is probably one of a Christian's most visible ways of displaying the light of Christ. One commentator refers to it as love in action. It probably focuses on our relationship to others, including meeting the needs of those around us, serving them, caring for them. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So let me ask, are we bearing fruit in this way? Are we looking for opportunities to serve and to care so that God's goodness will be seen in us, that His light will be reflected? This, of course, is the opposite of selfishness and apathy towards the needs of others. Like Christ, who is the light, we must go out of our way to serve and minister to the needs of the world, and especially, as it says, amongst the believers. If goodness is not seen amongst us, then it needs a visit. Otherwise, the light will grow dim. Perhaps that's what's been lost in the church today. Goodness is more than just being nice and pleasant. God's goodness will have an impact. It will have an impact when that light shines from us, when it's the goodness of God that's seen. And then you have righteousness. There are two aspects to this fruit. First, it has to do with our relationship with God. In Romans 4, verse 5, it says, "However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." Many religions and most of humanity try to justify themselves in the eyes of God. They try to work their way to God. They engage in good works in the hope that God will be pleased with them and earn their way to eternal life. But there's this failure to realize that all of man's works, whether good or bad, it means nothing in the eyes of God. No amount of good works will be sufficient to meet God's requirement for salvation. It's our faith in Jesus that is, you know, that is created in us, or rather credited to us as righteousness. God gives us His Son's righteousness to make us acceptable in His eyes. And the second thing, it also has to do with how we live. As people who are justified and made righteous by God, it's all about our daily life and practices. In James 2:17, it tells us that faith without works is dead. So the difference there, what motivates our works for God? Is it our kindness to others, perhaps trying to earn points and keeping God's good side? Or are we genuinely pursuing a righteous life where everything that flows through us is about reflecting His glory? The third fruit that Paul mentions is truth. Truth has to do with honesty, reliability, being trustworthy, and it's about our integrity. And these things, of course, are in complete contrast to the darkness that the world would offer. So you see, we have broken away by finding Christ. We have broken away from the hypocrisy, deceit, and the false ways of the old life. So is the fruit of truth growing in our lives? Or has it been left on the shelf? You see, our witness to others has to be based on the light of Christ, the light that we have actually been exposed to. Otherwise, we're just going to start to blend in with the darkness. No one will take notice, and we're going to then be left ineffective for Christ. You know, it's been said that goodness seems to focus primarily on how we relate to others. righteousness and how we relate to God, and truth and how we relate to ourselves. So as with any fruit, it's produced in the right environment. So what is the right environment? Basically, it's our relationship with Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And following on from that, we have the charge that Paul put out to the believers in his letters. It was to alert them. When he says, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do you hear that? Christ will shine on you. Just as an example, consider the solar lights that you place in your garden. Anybody put solar lights in their garden? I tried it, yeah. You understand then that you place them in your garden because if you don't put them in daylight, they won't shine in the darkness. The more daylight it gets, the longer it illuminates in the darkness. As you see where it works for us, do we want to be a shining light? Then we must live in the light. This is the place where we make our home. Our home in Christ through prayer, through the Word of God, through fellowship with the believers, through our worship and our service. And it's as we do this, then the fruits of goodness, righteousness and truth are actually produced. They're produced in our lives, leaving no room for darkness. And of course, we know that if there's no room for darkness in our lives, then Christ will be revealed through us. Isn't that what we want today? Isn't that what we want to see, that full moon illuminate into the darkness rather than just that wee slither? God can do that through you and I. And I think there's times we just need to be reminded it's feeding ourselves with the light of Christ helps us reflect Him even more. And that is my hope for each of us, that we would indeed feed off the light of Christ, that He may be reflected through us. Next week, as part of the message, we're going to be hearing a testimony about life that went from darkness to light. And hopefully you'll hear that practical example of what it is that Christ can do for you and I when we turn to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the light. And Lord, we come to You and recognize that it's only through You can light be seen from us. Help us to ask, Lord God, that we need to feed off You more and more and more. Forgive us, Lord, for the times where we have tried in our own efforts to reveal You. Help us, Father, to be that light in the darkness. Lord, we know and we look around as we live in dark times. So it just brings it to our minds to recognize that we need all the more of You. Oh Lord, help us. Reveal Yourself to us. And ask, Father, that You would help us in this week to come, that we would look for more of You in our lives, to discover more of You. And through that, Father, reflect more of You. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite John, the worship team, back up again.